Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Sherry Veronica, and this is Naked Departure Radio. With me today is Patrick King. He is very vocal and Barb. Everyone in Barbados, probably everyone in the world by this time, knows Patrick King. He's very vocal, very honest, very outspoken. And joining in with us also is our good friend, Victor Callender. But we both know that this show today is going to be listening to Patrick talk about the elections. And we want to hear Patrick's thoughts on what he thinks is going to happen in the next couple days. I mean, every day they're trying to derail Mia Motley. The DLP seems not to have anything going other than Mia Motley. So we want to hear what Patrick has to say in light of the fact that they have accused her of writing off about $500,000 of debt for her father. They've accused her of not being qualified in certain as an attorney. They have accused her of probably being the Eve in the Garden of Eden at this point. They have accused her of everything. So welcome into the studio, Patrick King, and welcome into the studio, Victor Callender.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon. It is interesting that you start on the whole premise of the waiver of taxes. At the accusations level by Owen Arthur against Mayor Motley. And we need to put a number of things into perspective here. And in order to understand what is happening, we must go back so that the event coming forward would understand what is happening. Now, I see Owen Arthur as a very sad, and a big disappointment in this country, having led Barbados for 14 years, and while it was successfully so, I continue to say in my videos that Winnather cannot now take the glory for himself because he was surrounded by competent ministers who would have helped him to be successful. So as the saying goes, the chain is as strong as his weakest link. Now, Winnather, based on the comments that he would have made, because we need to understand and what was really happening. Fondell Stewart, who happens to be the Prime Minister of Barbados at this time, stood in Callaghan and Bay Care Park and made some grand charges against Motley's father that while Owen Arthur was Prime Minister of this country, that he has waived taxes owed to the Treasury by Elliot Motley. No sooner than that was said by Fondell Stewart, Fondell Stewart proceeded to ask Owen Arthur to come forward and clear his name on what would have transpired in 1999. Owen Arthur came Monday at the invitation of a Kamar Jordan, who is no use and happens to be the chief executive officer for Barbados Today Online newspaper. Now, we must understand, Sherry, that Kamar Jordan has an agenda. Let us be clear on this one. She has an agenda. Kamar Jordan is also the person who was named as the first defendant in the matter that was brought against Barbados Today by Mayor Motley when it was alleged that she wasn't qualified and didn't have the LEC to practice law. So we must understand what we are up against. So at her invitation, Owen Arthur sought to go to Barbados Today and had an audience with members of the press. And it's arising out of questions that were asked from members of the press. Arthur proceeded to make some grand charges, which was refuted by way of evidence by Elliot Motley yesterday. Now, what is happening here, Sherry?
I want to stop you there for a minute. He is saying that Mia Motley was a junior minister, and I've never heard of anything like that. What is a junior minister, Patrick?
A junior as we call a parliamentary secretary that sits in the ministry under the minister. But Motley never had such a portfolio, and that's where it was coming out. Now, Motley ran in 1991 against Lawson, which then lost, and came back in 1994 and won the seat. Now, when she won, the party won the same thing on the 6th of September, 1994. Now, when the elections was won, Poynab emerged as the prime minister of the country. The first portfolio given to Mayor Motley at that time was minister responsible for education.
One second. Is this the time frame that she is alleged to have given her father some kind of pass?
I also want you to
explain what her father said about her being a junior minister. Don't leave that out. Okay, but go ahead.
No problem. Now, so she was appointed minister responsible for education. Now, during Motley's tenure from 94 to 99, Motley acted as foreign affairs minister in the absence of Billy Millett, and she also acted as attorney general in the absence of David Simmons. Now, at no time did Mayor Motley act as finance minister while being a member of the cabinet of Barbados during the period 1994 to 1999. So let the record go forth. At no time, she acted as the minister responsible for finance. Now, Motley, at the elections of 1999, Motley won again, and Motley was given the post. Motley was in education, the Battle for Education, immediately after the 1993 election. And when David Simmons had been approached by Owen Arthur to take up the role as Chief Justice in this country, it is at that juncture that when he resigned his seat, there was a by-election that was won by Cynthia Ford for the parish in St. Thomas. Arthur then assigned Mayor Motley to be Barbados' first female attorney general. At no time did Motley act as any minister of finance. In relation to the junior minister, I'm not pretty clear as to where the father would have got that, because Motley never acted as a junior minister. Motley always was
stop there. Stop. Okay, because, yeah, when you're on your show, you go on, but I have to ask a question. Did you hear her father saying that she acted as a junior minister?
I think what he had mentioned is that what you call a junior minister is when Billy Miller would have been the substantive minister responsible for foreign affairs. So if you are acting, every person goes overseas on government business and you are acting,
that's not what he meant. Come on now.
But Motley, the history is there. Motley was never a junior minister.
So what would he say? Why would he say that?
But that's what I'm saying to you. You can be considered.
Sherry Patrick. The term junior minister does not mean parliamentary secretary, and it does not a junior minister. The senior tier ministers are ministers of foreign affairs, attorney general, right? Minister of finance. Those are the senior tier ministerial posts. So if you look at a Westminster system in a parliamentary grouping, the senior ministers will probably be your minister of foreign affairs, your minister of finance, and your attorney general. That's the senior tier. From that senior tier, most times, is where the leadership of the party will go, the deputy prime minister, thereabout. That's what he meant by that. So that's
okay.
What he intended to say. That's how the parliamentary system is lined up.
Okay.
Okay, but let me continue. So the point that we want to make was that Molly then became first female prime minister after David Simmons, who was the
prime minister. Wait. Say that again, please.
The first female attorney general.
Okay.
She, position after David Simmons resigned his seat and went to take up the post of Chief Justice in Barbados. Therefore, the point I'm making is that at no time Motley was in their position. Now, her father had applied to the Minister of Finance, her father,
okay.
For the
Okay. Wait. This is we're talking about the elections, and this is getting so personal. This is just taking we're just stuck on me now. Okay, everyone.
Because I'm trying to develop the point. I was all close to the end, basically on what you were.
Okay. Let's try to get to the end part of this. Okay.
So the point I'm making is that he had made an application, for the interest.
Right, and the penalties, the interest and the penalties, and not to do away with the what he owed. Right, we know that.
Not the penalties, just the interest, not the penalties.
Okay.
Not the penalties, just the interest that he applied to have paid. So the point that I want to make on closing on this point was that whenever was reckless and irresponsible in his comments to charge Motley and hold her responsible for her father's application before the Ministry of Finance for the raising of the tax.
But not only that, hasn't the statutes of limitations run on that? In terms of prosecution?
I have to research that aspect of it to see if, yes, there is statute of limitations, but as it relates to the Income Tax Act, I will have to do some research on it.
Do you think Owen Arthur is still holding a grudge because Mayor Motley took his wife?
I am not privy to that information, so therefore I can't speak to anything for which I have no knowledge. The point I would like to make is that Owen Arthur has to extend for the people of Barbados how it is that in 2003, when he won the general election on the 21st of May, that he appointed her deputy prime minister, and she held that portfolio until the last election on the 15th of January, 2008. Now, and if that she was so good to become his deputy prime minister for a period of 5 years, and that he held three portfolios over a 40-year period that he had that he led the cabinet, then he had to explain why it is that all of a sudden she's now not any good to run the affairs of the country, now that he's not at the helm.
So we're hearing now that he's courting the dying, the one that's limping, the one that's on the last leg, Dennis Lowe. What else have you heard about that? And then we can move off and talk about that.
I receive information just after 1 o'clock from a person who I shall remain nameless for now, who gave me the information that Owen Arthur journeyed up to Dennis Lowe's residence and sat in his veranda and had cordial conversations. Now, Owen Arthur, it is alleged that Owen Arthur intends to go on the political platform on Sunday for the Democratic Party. I don't have all the facts, but that is alleged. So it is clear that Owen Arthur has an axe to grind. But I think that he has done enormous damage on his credibility and his legacy that he had for the 14-year rule when he was Prime Minister of Barbados.
Okay. What do you think about Solutions Barbados?
Solutions Barbados, the challenge I'm having with Solutions Barbados is that while I approved some of the policies, I looked at them, some of them are workable, some of them are not workable. The challenge that Solutions Barbados will have on their hands if they want to turn around certain aspects of the Barbados economy is that under the Westminster system in this country, it means that you have to have a two-thirds majority to change a number of things that they want. You see, the grand changes just do not come about overnight. A two-thirds majority is required where you want to have major changes in the country. That's why Owen Arthur was able to bring legislation whereby no government can cut salaries of civil servants anymore. Now, for you to turn around that, whoever wants to turn around that must have a two-thirds majority to remove that off the statute book. So that is the challenge I'm having with Solution Barbados, because the number of things that they are attempting to do and say that they want to do will require a two-thirds majority to have.
Okay. What do you think about Natalie? Do you think she's going to win Bridgetown?
No, I don't believe. I must say from the outset that I applaud Natalie for her bravery and the tenacity to come forward. Someone who had given up a life and decided that they will come on the straight and narrow path, she must be commended for it. And I would also support her in this. She made a video, someone sent the video to me, where she had issues with the press, referred to her all the time as a former sex worker. But this is the reality of how Barbados like to treat others when they hold certain positions. Lofty, that is, they believe that they can look down on those persons who they think that is less fortunate. And that was so unfortunate. And I supported her when she came out and did the video and told them that they need to stop it. Because that F was the ministers, these ministers are known for corruption in this country. And no member of the press don't refer to them as corrupt ministers. They still call them honorable. So what is wrong with you? And her name is Nadia. We then address her by the name. And stop with the nonsense that she's a former sex worker. That's foolishness. Don't take the woman down that path. But I don't believe that she will secure a seat in the city. She will get a few votes, probably 20, 21, 30 votes. But she will not, because the Indians in the city are a large number of Indians spread all across the city. And I cannot realistically see any of the Indians putting their support behind Natalie at this time.
Who do you think is going to win the city?
I think Jeffrey Bossett is going to come out handsomely. Because that a lot of cold water has been poured on the boy Henderson Williams based on the number of things that came to the fore on the political in the political campaign that sought to bring his reputation into question.
Okay. Let's talk about Bajan Free Party, run by Alex Mitchell. What do you think about his group?
I think that Alex Mitchell is living in Wonderland. Wonderland in the sense that Alex Mitchell has a beef with his lands belonging to the crown, and he go off in a tantrum that it's not clearly understood what it is he really wants to do, what it is that he's seeking to achieve, and it is uncertain that he will be taken seriously by any member of the public who happens to be an electorate taking part in the upcoming general election.
Do you think Frontal Store is going to secure his constituency?
No. As a matter of fact, only yesterday I drove through there, I stopped at the constituency office, and I'm alarmed at the fact that there are many young people who are rallying behind the young boy, Kurt Humphrey. And then this says a lot. You see, Frontal Store has destroyed his own self by his own behavior. And this must be said. Frontal Store is a leap ahead of his own body, observing his own actions and some doubtful disputations. Frontal Store's challenge is simply this, that he's full of himself. Frontal Store believes that because he can quote Shakespeare, the book of Shakespeare, and he can quote George Utley with the Animal Farm, with all the fancy things that George Utley would have said, and George Bernard Shaw and those guys, that he believed that is enough for him to run a country. It is not.
He likes the Masonic or the white training he got. He believes what he has read in those Masonic books. That's very, very obvious. So, okay, let's move.
And distance himself from the reality.
Exactly.
Of life.
Exactly. Exactly. Is there anything you want to say, Victor?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I do. With reference to Owen Arthur, he's become a national disgrace. A man whose legacy could have been written pretty much like the pyramids were written in stone. Pretty much like Egyptology, he could have written his own historical narrative in Barbados, and he is because of his maliciousness and his venom, he has now placed himself on a path with people in the Democratic Labor Party, people who are using him for political opportunity to destroy a party that he spent more than 40 years in, tells me, I don't know what it tells other Barbadians, that he could never have been serious about the vision for Barbados, except with him at the helm. And not only that, I think that Owen S. Arthur is a misogynist. He's a pig, because there's no way that you could know, having sat in St. Peter for all the years that he sat down there as its parliamentary representative, and all the things that the Democratic Labor Party said about him, that he could now turn on a switch and jump over to the other side, right, when there's no reason for him to have done that. And if you listen to all of the political meetings held by the Barbados Labor Party, they have ingratiated themselves to him and to his legacy by saying what a noble and good job he did for 14 years as a country, at the helm of the country. And for him to now turn his back on the people that brought him to his legacy, I think he's disgraceful. I think it is damning. And I have nothing more to say about Owen Arthur, except I pray God will bless Owen Arthur and his family. But as far as I'm concerned, he has turned over a leaf, a page that I have nothing else to say about. He's just a disgraceful former prime minister, and a damaged, wounded former prime minister.
Patrick, do you think that Dennis Lowe should have resigned his position and they replaced him with someone younger, more viable?
Of course. The challenge I'm having with Dennis Lowe participation in this general election is different, because Dennis Lowe was advised by doctors in 2012, and when I say this on the backdrop that I have a document in my hand given to me by one of the doctors who advised Dennis Lowe. And I will speak to it on a political. I intend to set up a platform in this election. My first pop meeting should come up on Sunday coming. And I intend to share this information with the individuals. Where the doctors made it lucidly clear that because of his health conditions, that they advised him that he should step away from active politics.
Okay. So you agree that he should not be in politics. Let's move on. You can elucidate on your show. What about Michael Carrington? Do you think that he should have been replaced to show the people of Barbados that they mean business? Do you think that would look good on from the Stuart's part to have asked Michael Carrington to get out of the way?
Of course, Michael Carrington can only got away what he got away with only in Barbados. Because had Michael, the speaker, you want to go and understand the role that Michael Carrington plays. And for Michael Carrington to be a speaker of a House Assembly and to be brought before the Supreme Court of this country for taking willful and meaningful advantage of a disabled man in a wheelchair, it is unheard of in any part of the world. And that for Prime Minister to be advising Michael Carrington to get an attorney to represent himself and supported Michael Carrington to the extent that Michael Carrington still remained in the chair of the dissolution of Parliament says a lot about the character of Van der Stuart. It speaks to Van der Stuart's character. Because if I was leading a company, and in my company, I was the overseer of employees who participated in any acts that would seek to bring in, call into question the judgment of my company, then I would have no other choice than to relinquish the person from the post. But for Van der Stuart to hold on to him, it says a lot about Van der Stuart. And that speaks volumes about Van der Stuart. Speaks volumes.
Okay. So, you already say you don't think Van der Stuart is going to get back in. So that's a moot point on your part. Who else in his cabinet do you think should have been asked to leave? who maybe new blood brought in, who or maybe a reshuffling, just to show, just to tell the Barbadian public, yes, I saw the weakness, I saw the weak links within this particular party, and here it is, I am trying to secure a better future for you, and I've brought in new people, new blood. Do you think that the no good, the one that I don't even think, because I've asked people and no one has sent me anything, the no good Attorney General Adriel Brassett, do you think that they should put him in a different position?
Ezra Buffett should be on the back bench in this country. Ezra Buffett had no regular ministry in this country. Ezra Buffett is the Attorney General of Barbados. And Ezra Buffett is now seen moving all around with a woman who was a constable, who's now has been elevated to state and Sandra and all that.
Well, she has. I think one of his subordinates had his baby. But let's get back to this court thing. Do you know of any case that Adriel Brassett has brought against any criminal or any gang or any there is money laundering in Barbados, and there is sex slavery? Do you know of any case, any substantial case that MS have brought in Barbados to make Barbados a better, cleaner place?
No, he hasn't. But you see, again, Jerry, how do you explain or expect a person whose morale is at zero can now be used to be motivating those persons who thinks we're above the sink in the same attorney?
Patrick, who in the DLP do you think should stay within that party and still are, like, decent, morally upright people?
But there are none. And it's very sad to say, there's none. There is none. You're saying
that not one member of the DLP is morally equipped to remain?
No. Let me run through it quickly for you. You have Michael Lashley, who's known, and his character is a bright fortress.
Let me ask you a question. Did the taxpayers pay for those girls' funeral, or did that come out of Michael Lashley's personal money?
My understanding is that he had footed the bill. I don't have all the evidence there, but that's what I was told.
Okay, let me ask you another question before we get into the last part of the show. Do you think that if any minister is shown to have committed a crime while they were a public servant, serving the people, do you think that Mia Motley's, because I'm sure you're thinking that the BLP is going to get in, do you think that Mia Motley should prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law, or do you think she should, or do you think she will?
But I am hoping, and I said this very clear and upfront, and in the presence, if it is found after Boris Lebani has captured the government, and it is found that any one of them has stolen taxpayers' money, that they should be handcuffed and put to prison. As we speak, documents belonging to the Crown is being threaded. I got that information at 25 minutes to 5 while I was on my way home. That document, lifetime and real time documents that would lead or trace that any stealing under this administration is being threatened. I was also being informed that Scotland Yard is now on the shores of Barbados investigating 3 government ministers in this country. Stephen Lear's death has now come to the fore again. Chris is being investigated.
Who? Who is being investigated?
Chris
St. Clair, people. He means Chris St. Clair. Okay, go ahead. We have 10 seconds left, but this show is continuing on another station. So even though it's off on Blog Talk, which you are listening in on, it will continue on, and I will give that link to you. So goodbye to the people on Blog Talk, and we will continue the show on another platform. Bye-bye. Yes, continue, Patrick, continue.
So Scotland Yard is on the shores of Barbados, and they can